green energy that requires massive taxpayer subsidies and have shown to be inadequate at providing enough electricity power to our homes, businesses, and factories, there still remains viable oil and natural gas option. New, cleaner technology makes these proven energy sources cheap, affordable, and reliable. Karen Alderman Harbert is the president and CEO of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Institute for 21st Century Energy, and she's on the other end of our line. She is part of a special series presented by the Michigan Center for Public Policy. As a matter of fact, this is their Issues and Ideas Forum. It'll be today, and its focus is going to be on oil and gas energy in Michigan in the U.S. Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, is it Alderman or Alderman?
It's Alderman, but I'll take anything.
All right, we'll take that. Thanks so much for being on the program.
No, my pleasure, my pleasure. It's a timely conversation.
All right, so what do you do? Tell us about what the Institute for the 21st Century in Energy is.
Well, you know, the Institute was formed to try and have a more common sense discussion about energy policy in this country. We are amazingly sitting on a huge amount of natural resources, from oil and gas to, yes, renewables too, but we have an energy policy that's prohibiting their development. And that's not happening in other places around the world, and we really need to wake up and realize that energy is so fundamental to our economic future. And with the economic doldrums that we're in, if we were smart about energy policy, we could be creating a lot of jobs, a lot of investment, and that would be good news for the American people.
Well, there are many who say we can't tear up the land in order to get the energy that we need, especially since we consume more than we create.
That's true. We have gotten ourselves into a position where we are importing, you know, almost more than 50% of the oil that we consume. But the reality is that we do have a lot of oil here and natural gas. And as you noted, with technology, the way it's progressed, we have very environmental sustainable ways to get it out of the ground and to use it and to spend that money here rather than abroad.
Well, during your visit, if you open up the newspapers the last couple of days, you could have seen that fracking is on the minds of many. As a matter of fact, there are many state representatives who are trying to get together and fight a series of bills that are out there. The folks who are for these bills believe that it'll create jobs and create energy and industry here in the state, but there are those who like to support, in their minds, the environment and think that it'll tear our lands up.
Well, it's important to have this debate and to get to the facts rather than sort of the mythology that swirls around fracking and natural gas. The truth is, we have been using fracking in this country for over 60 years. The industry has fracked over 1 million wells. And even our own Environmental Protection Agency and the administrator there, Lisa Jackson, came forward in congressional testimony this year and said there has been no evidence on any of those wells that there has ever been any damage to our groundwater. So with our own government, you know, supporting it, we really need to be thoughtful about this resource. We are the Saudi Arabia of natural gas. And I tell you, you know, people do have choices. And if those companies don't feel they're going to be able to do anything here, you know, they're going to go to Nigeria and other places. That would be terrible news for our energy future.
So, what do we do? First of all, I guess what we should look at is, how do we get here? Why are there so many rules and regulations?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we never sort of clean out the closets and put new clothes in. We continue to add more and more and more layers. And we have right now a landscape in front of us with more regulations coming at industry, business, not just the energy industry, but business, than ever before in our history. And it's very difficult for business to operate in a very uncertain environment with this, you know, tsunami of regulations coming at them. That certainly isn't the type of competitive environment we want to have to get our economy back on the ground. So we need to streamline the process. We need regulation, but we need smart regulation. And that doesn't necessarily mean more and more regulation.
Okay. Do we see change coming anytime soon?
Well, we don't, and that's the big problem. We're trying to make it clear to lawmakers at all levels, I mean, why I'm coming out to Michigan to talk to folks, state senators, et cetera, about doing this smartly, preserving the environment, but making sure we've got the energy we need to keep this economy afloat and to grow it. And frankly, you know, if you look around the world, you look at China, you look at other countries, they are getting all the energy they need to grow their economies. And right now, we seem to be taking a U-turn and not prioritizing energy as a fundamental and vital resource for our stumbling economy.
Well, who's responsible for that? Who should be at the leading us past all this stuff? Because it's widely known that many countries around the world, including China, subsidize their businesses and their industries. What's going on?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, we have had at least 30 or 40 years of complacency. We really haven't made it a huge priority. The last time we made energy a priority was after the Arab oil embargo, and then we sort of lost sight of it. And people go to the wall switch, and the lights go on. They go to the 6th and Main gas station, and gasoline is there. And it's a really complex system behind it. The business sector, the energy industry, has invested a lot of money to keep the lights on and the gasoline available. And they've invested a lot in technology to do that increasingly cleaner. We need to enable that, rather than trying to actually prohibit that. And that's where all this regulatory reform, quote-unquote, is going. And we do need wind, and we do need solar, and we need more options, not less. But unless we make it attractive and inviting to invest here, people won't do it, and that capital will not come to the United States.
We want to thank Michael Jarre, who has helped us to have Karen here on the phone. It's the Mackinac Center for Public Policy Issues and Ideas Forum. It is this afternoon from 12 noon to 1 o'clock. Karen will be one of the featured speakers at the Michigan Restaurant Association in downtown Lansing. Lunch is provided. There's no charge. It'll be very informative. Karen, welcome to Michigan. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Tony. Just one small correction. I think they've had to move it until tomorrow at noon, so nobody show up today.
Please
show up tomorrow.
It's tomorrow at noon. Okay.
No worries.
All right. We want to make sure we're right there. Well, enjoy your time here. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Take care.